Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is episode number 10.
Wow.
Man, we are just about to wrap up the end of the year, and can't believe we've already got 10 episodes in the bag. No.
Lord willing, we'll get that 11 next week, but yeah, that's a lot.
One more before the end of the year.
What God's done in these last part of 2020.
That's right.
Unusual year.
So this episode's coming out just a little bit late. That would be my fault. I was a little ill this past week.
Not COVID.
It was not the Rona. Not that I know of.
Not that SARS.
No, I had.
Did you lose your taste?
No, I had taste. Oh, that's good. I mean, I had tacos and I knew it because
Could you taste the tacos?
I could taste them. Okay. I could smell them.
I can deal with that.
Yeah. So no, we're good. Had some tacos with Chuck this week. So
Did you guys go to your same spot?
No, they have a new spot on 51st in Peoria. They opened up. It's the same chain that we usually go to right here off of Bell.
Yeah.
But they opened up a new spot. But I'll tell you what, you know, when they open the new spots up, I love it because, you know, they want to attract their customer base, you know. And so what they load the tacos.
So they're still hungry.
They're still hungry. But then it's funny, like after a year or two, they get a little skimpy, you know what I'm saying?
Was that the one with the Yelp review? Did you get point like percentage off or?
No, same no, no, company, no, no, right? No. That's
different company.
Totally different one. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no, we won't go back there again.
Okay.
No.
No, I thought this one though, you could use your Yelp app, and you still got.
You know what? Yeah, you're totally right.
Same company, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you do a check in, you get a free taco.
Did you go on Tuesday with Charles?
No, or? We went on. It was Monday. It was a Monday.
Oh man, so you didn't get no discount, but it was good. Discount.
It was still good, man.
Wow. What did you go eight this like last time or nine?
I went eight.
Wow.
Eight.
Did Charles go nine?
No, he went eight also. But what I didn't know is he got a bean burrito too. But he split that with his wife, so that was cool. I mean, we all ate together.
Is half a bean burrito worth a taco, or is that a taco and a half?
It's gotta be a couple.
What's the ratio?
You know, I mean, by the time you put all the beans in there, I mean that's a lot of protein in there, man.
Cheese and
oh yeah. Wow. And they're refried, you know. So yeah, it's got some oil in there, maybe some bacon grease, who knows?
Yeah, some manteca somewhere in there. Well, Dr. Watts is going to sponsor part of the show, Lipitor.
but no, it was good. You know, I got the little canisters of salsa, and I picked the darkest red one. And, you know, I was a little, like I said, I was a little under the weather, but man, and cleaned out the pipes with that red salsa, man. I mean,
it opened you up?
Oh, yeah. Man, I was...
Did you feel better?
You know, a little bit, yeah. I was you know... It'd give me a runny nose for most of the night. We're doing our Bible study, and I'm like,
sorry, guys.
Blowing my nose, yeah. But anyway.
Sponsored by Vicks. Wow.
Vicks fixes everything. Yes.
Well, Charles and I went out almost 2 weeks ago. Now, we went to a Jewish deli, so that was phenomenal.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we had a good time. They closed at 7, though, which is weird, right?
But, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, but we had the beef brisket. Charles gets the, I think it's a Reuben sandwich, you know? Mm. He likes that. What is that? Not corned beef. It's the pastrami.
Pastrami.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
He was gonna get something for Laura, and then if Laura didn't want it, he would just eat it too. But he decided. He called her, and she said no. And then I got to see his car too. Fired it up and met his neighbor. So yeah, a good time.
Nice.
But I did Taco Tuesday here with the hard tacos, and I tried your ground beef. They were pretty good.
They're tasty, right?
Yeah.
They got a little flavor.
Two ground beef and then two shredded beef.
Nice.
I said, so I'll try what Ben said.
Yeah, buddy.
I forgot to tell you and show you a picture. And then yesterday I had menudo. So I forgot to send you a picture too.
I was going to send you a picture today because my mom made menudo today.
That's where you guys went for lunch.
Yeah, because, you know, we were going to go and then you had an appointment. And so my mom called me last night. I was at Chuck's last night.
Wow.
And she's like, hey, come over for lunch. I got menudo. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm there.
Was it white, red?
Red.
Wow. Pretty good?
Oh, it was delish.
Did you have just one? Two bowls?
Two bowls.
Okay.
Yeah, two bowls.
Little onions.
I took a picture, and I was going to send it. And I don't know. I guess I must have forgot. I think I got two. Yeah, I started eating. I forgot.
You got carried away into the menudo?
I'm putting the oregano and the onions in there. And I'm like, I forgot.
What was I going to do? I don't remember. But I got menudo here. Did you guys have bread with it or?
Crackers.
Crackers. Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that
it's
before.
It's a New Mexico thing, I think, because here, I know they serve it with tortilla, right?
A bread, or you know, or like bread. Like a pan with butter and
okay.
I like tortilla with it, but
yeah, I've seen some places serve tortilla, but yeah, back home, you know, you do pozole or you do menudo, and you know, break out some saltines.
Yeah, where we were, I never seen that. I mean, that's gives it that salty flavor.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
Okay, well, it's at work, we're having a debate what's better, pozole and menudo, and then
that's a tough one, man.
Out of the 10 people, the only 3 people ate that. So it was 2-1 menudo won.
But one more thing before we get into the episode. So I went to your house a couple weeks ago. We watched a fight.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Two weeks ago.
And Tom was there.
Yeah.
We started talking about corn chips. You know, we like corn chips. And I love corn chips, man. I'm a corn chip kind of guy. I eat corn chips with about anything. But Tom, he recommended eating corn chips with peanut butter. And so I've never heard of that. I haven't tried it yet. I'm going to try it. But I haven't tried it. I'm not going to knock it until I try it. But I thought I would throw that out there. Wow. What do you think, man?
I don't know. That's weird.
Because we have
salsa, guacamole.
And I'm with you, bro. I love salsa, guacamole, you know, and especially the Winco chips. The Winco chips are the best.
Yeah, I like that.
But
Tom's ripped, so maybe that's just the way to stay healthy is eat corn tortilla chips instead of...
Yeah, that makes you sleepy. I don't know.
Yeah, I told Cheryl, I go, he falls asleep in the 7th round. And then this week, I took a picture of him sleeping. And yeah. I even showed it to him, so that was funny. Sorry, Tom, if you're listening. I still love you.
Anyway... Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And well, hey, we had a lot to catch up on. We missed a whole week, so we're catching up here. But anyway, I want to get into the episode here. This week, we want to talk about it's a pretty serious subject, especially around this time of year. We're gonna cover the topic of loneliness. And so Sasso is gonna kick us off with the 1828 definition.
1828 Webster's Dictionary, as we always start the podcast to this point. Loneliness is defined as solitude, retirement, seclusion from company. He was, just an example, he was weary of the loneliness of his habitation. Love of retirement, disposition to solitude, loneliness.
In the Webster 1828, it gives us a definition of solitude, which is true. However, loneliness is the effect or the cause of being alone. Loneliness, like I mentioned earlier, it's a serious matter, okay? And just to be clear, being alone and loneliness are two different things. Okay, one could be alone yet feel content, and another could be in a crowd of people and feel lonely.
That's right.
Or loneliness could be the effect of being alone. So, are you confused yet?
Who's on first?
And there are many people around the world that will experience loneliness caused by some circumstance. Whether male or female, believer or unbeliever, nobody is immune to this state of mind. Mm. Loneliness is an emotion, and it's a very powerful one at that. It can cause people to isolate, to get depressed, experience anxiety, frustration, sadness, be angry, be bitter, be discontent, mostly all negative consequences of loneliness. And the state of loneliness seems to be amplified around the holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, because those holidays typically revolve around family activities and gatherings where people are usually together. So why do we feel lonely? Well, according to a report by NPR, there was a study done in 2019 by the insurer Cigna, and they found that 3 out of 5 Americans are lonely, okay, with people feeling that they are disconnected, left out, misunderstood, and lacking companionship. The report also shows that men are more lonely than women, with 63% of men feeling lonely versus 58% of women feeling lonely. One statistic that caught my attention was that 73% of people who are heavy social media users were reported as feeling lonely.
Wow. That's incredible.
And that's, I don't know, to me that's, that sounds about
right.
It's
telling.
Yeah, it's about right.
It's a fake life, essentially, right. Sometimes.
Yeah. Another statistic, Generation Z, which I believe that's, let's see, so what do we have, X? You have Generation X, and then you have... is it millennials? Millennials? Is this the Generation Z is millennials?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it is.
Yeah, it could be millennials. That's what, I mean, in your 20s right now, right? 20s, 30s.
Right.
Are you're millennial right at the very back of it?
Yeah, I think I'm considered, right at the very edge of it. So Generation Z is the loneliest generation, which could only confirm that social media trend for those who use a lot of social media. So again, it's a lot of people that are using the social media, and that's probably why they're connecting into. That's the only way they can feel connected.
It's a synthetic social.
It is. It's fake. Yeah. Like you said, it's fake.
It's a synthetic, yeah.
AARP also ran a study to analyze the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on adults of all ages to understand the levels of social isolation during the pandemic, and to assess knowledge of how social isolation can impact a person's health. And the top 4 emotions that adults experienced were 57% frustration, 52% stress, 47% anxiety, and 41% isolation. So loneliness came in at ninth place with 28% of adults who were said to be lonely. 41% of the adults in the study agree that the pandemic has made it difficult to connect with friends. Two out of three adults in the study were said to have experienced social isolation. And we could go on and on with these stats, okay? But why do we feel lonely? What is the root cause here? I mean, there's so many things that we've already talked about, you know, but what's the root cause here? There are many reasons, but and I've already pointed out a couple, you know, feeling disconnected, left out, misunderstood, and lacking companionship. But here are some of the primary reasons I feel are at the root of this. And the first one, the top of my list, is unbeliever. Amen. If you're an unbeliever, okay, that means no Jesus, means no peace, no joy. Okay, the feeling of being disconnected is really a disconnection from God. Only Jesus can fill the God-shaped hole in your heart. And no amount of money, fame, fortune can fill that hole. And I've seen people try to fill that hole with a whole lot of stuff, and they can't do it. And typically around Christmas, you'll see people buying lots of stuff because it gives them a sense of satisfaction, whether it's, you know, them giving it to somebody or buying it for themselves. But it's really a fleeting sense because they can't fill that hole in their heart that only Jesus can satisfy.
And I would ask them, what are they celebrating Christmas for if there's no Jesus, right? No peace, exactly. No joy? Even a lot of our secular Christmas songs have God, Jesus, a story of his birth. I mean, how depressing it would be to celebrate something that, the gifts are God's gifts as a symbolic. And I think we do it out of tradition, but sometimes tradition is very empty.
Oh, yeah.
As a lot of religions.
Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to add that, kind of makes you think, what are you celebrating if you don't believe?
Well, and it's funny because, and I think I'll get to this here a little bit later, but, you know, like around this time of year, like you said, with the gifts, and it's people are out buying gifts, and you see all these marketing campaigns saying, hey, you know, give the gift or re-gift, even like pastors talking about earlier, or whatever the case may be. But you have these marketers that are making you feel a sense of emptiness that you need to go out and this is going to satisfy you. And we've missed the whole point. I mean, we've completely missed the point of Christmas, you know. So another root cause here that I kind of have pointed out here is the loss of a spouse or loss of a child, loss of a parent or a loved one. This is especially difficult. Even if the deceased was a born-again believer and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are in heaven, the reality is that death hurts. That's right. You definitely have a sense of loss when this happens. And again, these types of losses are very, very painful around the holidays because these are the times when you gather and you remember, have those memories of gathering with those people that you've lost, and now they're no longer here. And so that pain just comes back. And so I see this with a lot of, you know, widows in our church and things like that. And it's it hurts my heart to see that. So another one here is being ignored can cause loneliness because it makes you feel worthless and unimportant. So I don't know if you're somebody who maybe is ignored, maybe people don't pay attention to you, or maybe you try to speak up, but they don't listen. You're just ignored. And so that's kind of one of the root causes, I think. And another one, you know, maybe you've been alienated or rejected, or people that are indifferent toward you, and it makes you feel lonely because you basically have a zero sense of worth. Okay. Now there are many, many reasons why people feel lonely. Okay. I know in various jobs, I would feel kind of lonely at times, you know, because as a Christian, I didn't participate in the jokes or the crude talk, you know, which gives a sense of not fitting in, but who says I have to fit in?
That's right.
As a deacon in our church, you know,
probably shouldn't fit in. That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I love not the world, you know.
That's right.
You look different.
That's right. And so what I was going to say is, as a deacon in our church, you know, Sasso and I both, we have the privilege of serving our widows and widowers. But I have to be honest, like I said earlier, sometimes it's hard to see these individuals as they have to continue a long life's journey, raising kids, carrying all the responsibility, you know, and at the center of it all, they feel lonely. And I've seen situations where, you know, one spouse leaves another and the effects are tremendously painful. Loneliness can then lead to things like depression and being angry and getting anxiety, feeling sad, and ultimately can affect your health. And according to the CDC, social isolation, which most commonly leads to loneliness, can cause things like dementia, heart disease, and stroke. Other common health concerns are high blood pressure, risk of heart attack, lack of sleep, and the list goes on and on.
I never heard that, Ben, about those medical conditions that come from...
Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense because it all starts in your mind. It's a, it's stress, a state of emotion, yeah. But then you're your body starts feeling
inflammation
that.
And all that.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Mm. So how does one overcome loneliness? Okay. Well, the first and the most important way to overcome loneliness for an unbeliever is to place your faith or dependence on God for what he's already done for you. Christ's death on the cross, exchanging his righteousness for your sin, was an expression of his deep love for you. And when you become a born-again believer, you become part of the body of Christ. Okay, so you get a new family. Okay, and it's a big family. Galatians 3:26-28, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor... there is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Guys, we're adopted as sons. Mm. We're sons and daughters. Amen. In fact, this past week, we had a memorial service for Sasso's father-in-law, and it was a beautiful, beautiful memorial service. It was a celebration of life, and Sasso's brother-in-law, Mike, he gave the eulogy, Mike had us all in tears pretty much the whole time, but Mike started talking about his adoption. He was adopted by Sasso's father-in-law when he was a young boy, and he was raised by him, and so a lot of people didn't know that. And Mike was just really, really thankful and grateful that he was able to have the privilege of being adopted and loved by a father. And to me, when I heard that, it just really clicked. And I'm thinking, man, this is just a picture of God and how He's adopted me and Sasso and you, if you're born again, we're adopted into the family of God. I mean, we don't deserve it, but he loves us. Amen. He loves us with an everlasting love. So I'll leave you with this one. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
And man, I go back to just kind of about loneliness, and I have a friend that's in Arizona Correctional Department, or not Department of Corrections, but he's in the prison system, Department of Corrections, I should say. And he wrote me, I would say Friday, and just said he's very lonely. Mm-hmm. And he's fighting just thoughts of depression, thoughts of going back to his old ways. And he said what's helping him is he's going back to God's truth, God's promises. And I got to write him back, but just kind of thinking about the ways to combat loneliness is through God's promises. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. I think many times Satan will whisper to us things that we need, just like you said. We went out maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I went to my favorite mall and was showing you things that I like, and you were just, unimpressed.
I was impressed. I was impressed. I was just, for me, I look at the price tag and I'm like, man, I can't even afford that. Why even look at it?
Yeah, and that's what Rebecca's like, hey, we need to be more like Ben and Diane. We need to, and I think there's truth in that to say, and that's what God's saying, that sometimes we get lonely because we're not content with what he's given us. We don't take inventory of all the things, and even the adoptions of sons.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful thing in our lives. If we never got one material thing, man, we're adopted. We're child of the king. And I think a lot of that is we just forget. And then we forget that God's always with us. And my friend, even in prison, I can't imagine what it would be like to feel isolated. Now, because there's no visits because of COVID. He can call me, we can email, but it's not the same as, I can't hug him, I can't see him face to face. Not much of a hugger anyway. And he always trips out on that. But God says, hey, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is our helper. He is always present, even in times when we don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And I'll speak about when I went to Chicago. So I was 18 years old. I lived here my whole life, 18 years. My dad got a job in Chicago. There's no way he's leaving me here because he knows the bad things I would get into. So he said, you're coming with me. And I didn't want to go. But in those days, kids questioned their parents. That's not something I was dumb enough to do at that point. So I said, hey, I'm going. That's just the way it is. And I felt so lonely. We went to Christmas and my mom, my dad, my sister were there. And I still felt lonely because I felt like there's no my friends, everybody that I knew. For the most part, I'm a pretty social person. So everything that I knew here was gone. And I really didn't have one person I could talk to. Back in those days, there was no cell phones. There was no way to communicate. And I just felt tremendously lonely, even though I lived in a home where people loved me and showed me that love. And I was honestly coveting for that which I had, and I'd appreciate, you know, the things that God had graciously given me in my home, a Christian family, presence, you know, and that's, you know, my, one of my love languages there, and gifts. And I just took it for, I just was not content with that, but I felt lonely. And it took me, I would say, a year to not feel lonely. I'll just tell you a story because I'm a storyteller. I was in the car with my dad, and we were driving. I'd been there maybe 9 months, and I was upset. And I just said, I can't believe you'd bring me out here. You know, I had friends, I had all this stuff, and you brought me out here. I don't even know anybody. I'm having a hard time making friends at school. And he looked at me and he said, well, how do you think this makes me feel? I lived there my whole life too. Mm. And I had to bring you here. Mm. And I had to leave a family, a job. I had to leave all these things. How do you think I feel? And I have a son that's complaining to me why he brought me here on top of that.
Right, right.
And I felt like, wow. Even at 19, I felt like piece of garbage, you know, like. I felt pretty low. And I think of this, we just forget. Yeah. We just forget all the things, the good things God has given us. We forget his promises and the fact that he says, hey, it's awesome no matter where you go. If you go to Chicago, if, you know, we become missionaries, God calls us somewhere in the future that he's going to be there with us no matter what.
Yeah.
We may not have any friends, supposedly, that we think, but we forget that God is ever with us. And he said, there is, you know, no greater, you know, love. And he laid down his life for us. And no greater friend that we have than Jesus. And we just forget that the Lord is our helper.
Well, you know, and it's funny because you mentioned, you know, forgetting. And, you know, back in the Old Testament, you read about the, you know, the children of Israel, and they would, you know, win a battle, or they would, you know, something would happen, they would build a memorial because they knew they were going to forget, you know, to remind them. And so, like you said, we need to go back to God's word. I mean, when we start feeling lonely, we need to go back to God's word. Look at his promises. Look at what he's given us. I mean, we have the greatest gift, and that's kind of a plug for next episode. The greatest
next week.
Gift. Yeah, the greatest gift ever. But yeah, we are professional forgetters. Yes.
And I think they set up these memorials, and I think it was also for them and for the generations to follow to say, man, we had a great God. Look at the great things God has done. Because as soon as we forget, could you imagine a generation that goes beyond you that forgets?
Oh, yeah.
And we're so apt to, you know, prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. That's just how we are.
Yeah.
So we have to be convinced of his love for us. That's the bottom line. Romans 8:35-39, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, there's no doubt in his mind, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
You can plug anything in there of what will be able to separate us, and there's not one thing in this world that can separate us from that amazing love of God. And so to combat loneliness, we have to be convinced that we are loved, that we are our values in Jesus Christ. It's not in my worth. It's not in anything I can do, but it's in him.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can take his love from us. Do you truly believe that to be true, that there's nothing that can separate, you know, you from the love of God? And we would say as Christians, well, of course we do. But do we act like that? Do we employ that in our minds when our mind, the Satan starts to battle us with these thoughts of loneliness? When you are separated from all things and pulled away, do you pull and cleave to Christ? So I think going to Chicago was a great opportunity for me, and God used that in my life spiritually. But at that time, I should have pulled closer to him instead of complaining about what I didn't have and what I was missing when I had all these resources that I just like didn't even, because that's not what I wanted. I was looking for a fleshly solution for a spiritual need, which never works.
Right.
And death, we talked about death. Death sometimes brings loneliness when we are separated from those who we love, that we are no longer with us. But if they know Christ, they are with him and enjoying his presence forever. And I think Mike talked about at the memorial how my father-in-law spent his first Thanksgiving with God, you know, with Jesus, and what a powerful testimony we have, where, of course, we missed him. You know, in times like this, he was with us. But to think of he's in the presence of the Lord, and honestly, that's where we desire to go as Christians as well, is be with our Heavenly Father.
Mm.
And I think when all others forsake you, God is always there. And there's points in your life where you Ben, you probably know because you got saved later in life, where your family forsook you, where they didn't want to be around you anymore because you were not the same Ben.
Yeah.
You were not doing the things that you wanted to do. But when we feel that loneliness, God is always there. Psalms 27, 10 through 14, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, or for false witnesses will rise up against me, sprouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. I think of David in this spot. He was in a bad spot, and he was not in the best of situations, but he had that powerful access to the throne of grace by prayer.
Yeah.
Just did a message at my dad's church recently about grace. I mean, this week at Freedom That Lasts, and then last week it was about mercy. Mercy was this week, grace was last week. And just how powerful the grace is, that undeserved favor that he has upon us, even in times where we think all is lost. And I would just say, do you realize that we have the same access to the Father through Christ Jesus that David did? Same God, same opportunities. Now we have direct access because he's
Amen.
That curtain's ripped
That's
in
right.
two.
That's right.
And in your loneliness, are you taking advantage of the power of prayer? Mm. And I can think of, you know, when I was lonely in Chicago and it was like 25 cents a minute to call people. And I would call a friend and I would be like, okay, I got to go. It's, you know, it's 3:57. Bye. Cause if it's 4 minutes, it's another quarter. And yeah. I don't like you that much. Because I was lonely, instead of saying, man, I have 24/7 access to the Father that I can just, and that's so much comfort.
Yeah.
And I've been sad about things and prayed and felt 10 times better because I've given that burden over to God. And I'm just going to say, hey, we're not the first people to be lonely. There's people in the Bible who were lonely. Right now I'm going through Jeremiah, my own personal devotions. Mm. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet.
Yeah.
And he was constantly rejected by those he loved. And he was even trying to warn him of the judgment of God. Like, hey, guys, they even got the scrolls that God told him to write out. They burned them. They just said, we don't want this. He was rejected. He was put in prison. Mm. He was going to die. And someone said, hey, if we forgot about Jeremiah, he's out there in the prison. We haven't fed him any food. And they got him out of there and brought him back to, but he was in the prison court there. And he was forbidden to marry. He couldn't have any children. But there's a book in the Bible that's attributed to him for us. And some of his verses from Jeremiah 20:14 says, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. And me, Ben, personally, my birthday is my personal holiday. Rebecca knows I love my birthday. I forgot Tom's birthday, and he was no big deal. He's like, oh, and I asked him this Friday, I go, your birthday is October the 4th. And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. He remembered. He goes, and then about 30 seconds later, he goes, no, it's actually October the 5th. I said, how in the world do you forget your birthday? Like, bro, like, I'll never forget that day. And you forgot. And here's Jeremiah just saying, hey, I want you to forget it because this is how bad my life's been. It's not a day that anybody should remember. It's a cursed day that I was born.
Yeah. Maybe it was the peanut butter.
Yeah, maybe he said, hey, it's also, he would remember it was the 5th, not the 4th. So I'll remember your birthday this year, Tom, promise. Jeremiah 20:18 says, wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my day should be consumed with shame. These aren't encouraging verses. Jeremiah's lonely. He's struggling. Makes you want to go out and conquer the world, right, when you hear these things. Mm-hmm. Ben, how did this verse make you feel? Did you feel encouraged by that verse?
Honestly, it does not encourage me.
It's not an encouraging verse, but Jeremiah, I imagine, was lonely and troubled in his soul, anxiety. He was going through a lot of things, a lot of emotions. So if you're lonely, there's people in the Bible just like you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, the verse does not encourage me. If anything, it makes me want to go eat some fried chicken, some comfort food. I mean, who wants to live a life of shame, a life of opposition, a life with no family? I don't think many would be up for this task, to be honest with you. But there was one after Jeremiah that would do just that and much more. Jesus lived a life of opposition. Amen. He was poor. He was hated. He was persecuted and eventually murdered. The Christian life, it's a very difficult. The reason it's so difficult is because it's absolutely contrary to the world. Basically, you are swimming upstream while most are swimming downstream. Now, I don't want to be the glass half empty kind of guy when it comes to Christianity, because God does shower us with blessings. Amen. And does truly give us an abundant life. The fact that we are loved by God and called sons and daughters surpasses any worldly riches that one can imagine.
I look at Jeremiah 29:11, even in the same book, he says, this is God saying, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And just like I told you, my friend that went to prison, it's kind of a verse that he memorized and committed to memory. And whenever he got these thoughts, because we often think like God has it out for us, like God is here to judge us. But he said, nope, those are not the thoughts I have for you. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil, because I have an end. I know what the end game is. Amen. And I have a plan for your life. Yep. And then also he says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me for me with all your heart. I think, you heard of the phrase, she's playing hard to get.
Yep.
And Rebecca broke up with me twice. And, like I said, I wrote her and she rejected me. And I was in Chicago. I was lonely. So I said, you start thinking about things. And I thought, man, maybe I can rekindle this fire. But the fire was dead. And I wrote her. She never wrote me back. And I'm like, wow, I gave her my heart. She said, I still love you after all these years, whatever. Never wrote me back. So I said, okay, 6 months later, I'll write her back and I'll just say, hey, sorry about that faux pas, but I can't delete that email, but hey, I just want to be friends. You know, it's cool. I understand. You don't like me. And she never wrote back from that either.
Oh, wow.
And we felt lonely. And she was very elusive. And she just, at the end of the day, she said, well, I'm not a good pen pal. Like, yeah, that's an understatement. You're not a good pen pal. You're a heartbreaker. That's what you are. I tried to seek her. I could not find her. And in those days, no phone, right? So, I go back and God's not that way. He's not elusive. He's not unattainable. He's not where we cry out and we don't hear him. But he is one that can be found if we truly will seek him with all of our heart. If we'll go after him and share our heart, he'll accept our heart. He'll go after us and say, hey, I'm here. If we search for him. Mm-hmm. And I think many times I'll ask the question, what are you seeking today? What is your heart going after? Are you seeking him? Or are you seeking that Facebook life or that, as you said, Ben, that social media, which leaves one unsatisfied and discontented? Yep. Am I living my life for likes, or am I living my life for Jesus Christ and just searching him with all my heart? We look at David, who lost children. He sinned against God. His kids wanted to overthrow him, take his throne away from him, and partly did. And Saul sought his life, but God used and depends some of the Psalms, which has been an encouragement, I would say, to millions of people going through dark times. In Psalms 42:11, he pens, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my conscience and my God. Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And this is the powerful verse when you're feeling lonely. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song, well, I praise him. That's not a verse of loneliness. That's a verse that says, hey, the Lord is my strength. He's the one that my heart can rejoice. And I don't rejoice maybe in my circumstances, maybe in my loved ones. And that I understand that brings sadness, but the Lord is still our strength, even in those times of pain and hurt and the feelings of loss. There are verses of hope as we go through loneliness in our lives, and God is ever present and available.
Amen.
Whenever we call upon him. It's like this, that on 43rd and Union Hills, there's a taco shop there open 24/7.
Yep.
If you want tacos at 2 o'clock in the morning, go get them. They're there for you, even if it's not Tuesday. And then with God, right, in the bed of affliction, as one may be, we can reach out to God, and he's always present, always Amen. Willing to listen to
yes.
us. I want to look at Elijah, who experienced a great victory. I mean, he brought down fire from heaven, right? And not only did he do that, he was so confident. He put water that was licked up. And then he went out and killed the prophets of Baal. He went after
400.
Yeah, he went after
400 prophets of Baal.
He wasn't even scared. He's like, I'm going to dig a ditch and I'm going to put water in there.
I like how he clowned him. He's like, what, is your God sleeping? Is he asleep? He's not awake? You got to wake him up?
And that's a tremendous faith he had, right? Yeah, like God was present, so present with him.
Yes.
That he was talking trash. He was trash talking.
He was.
He's like, oh, prophets of Baal, here we go. It's like he was like LeBron, just talking trash back in the day. And God brought fire down from heaven. This great victory he had. Yeah, and he was so close with God and so friendly. But then he was discouraged and lonely just like that as Jezebel found out about it and saw his life. In 1 Kings 19:1-4, we have, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not that life, I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He forgot everything God had did. And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I just think he just commanded fire from heaven. So all the prophets of Baal trash-talked. God came through, answered his prayer. But in this, another instance, he was scared for his life, and he felt like he was all alone in the wilderness and sought the Lord to take away his life, even though this was the same Lord that he asked, hey, bring fire
from
down.
From heaven, yeah.
And God did it. Mm-hmm. But did God take his life? No. He sure did it. He sustained him. Amen. So we look at those following verses, 5-8, and he says, and he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, maybe we get this where we get angel food cake from, I don't know. And behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days. That's some good meat, Ben. 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And I think about this and just said, God... Not did something great and just said, you know what, I have to sustain my Elijah here. He's struggling.
Yeah.
And he brought him that meat that I don't know if it was brisket or what, but it was so good that it was 40 days and 40 nights. That's some good meat there, Ben. Yeah,
that's some good meat, brother. That's some good eating. But it's interesting. God obviously knew what was going on, right? But in 1 Kings 19:9, it says, then he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, obviously, God knew what he was doing there. Elijah responds in verse 10, and he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Okay, so he's, woe is me. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. Like, all the prophets of Baal are dead, but I'm the only guy left. Then the Lord passed by along with a great wind and a great earthquake and a great fire. But the scripture says that God was not in the wind and not in the earthquake and not in the fire, but a small, still voice said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah repeated that he was the only one left and that his life was being sought out in order to kill him. Then God begins to tell Elijah his plan to anoint the king and another prophet. Then he tells Elijah in verse 18, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. In other words, Elijah thought that he was the last one alive and that God alive that worshiped God, hence making him to feel loneliness. But God told him his great plan and also told him that there were still 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal.
And I think that's one of Satan's greatest lies, is that's what he tells us, even in the workplace. Like, there's no other Christians that work here. There's no other one there is.
Oh, yeah.
And we leave that and we get lonely, and God always has our back. Even if we didn't have anybody, God's always there. And I think in times of great loneliness, God provides substance, even in the wildernesses of our life, as we all often pass through those. Our thoughts control our actions, and what we think about and focus on plays a part in our disposition. And so my question is, so what are you thinking about? And this is something I think about myself when I get to thinking things that are not biblical. And Philippians 4:6-8 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, with praise.
Yes.
Let your requests be made known unto God. And this is what happens when you do that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yeah.
I think how different my life would have been in Chicago if I'd have took this verse to heart, memorized it, and focused on it. And I think, what is our focus on today? What are you thinking about? What am I thinking about? I think it'd be a great idea to put this verse 4:6-8 on a 3x5 card in your pocket, laminate it to remind you what good things to think about. We often think about things that are evil, things that maybe we feel like we're unjust, or God's put us in a situation where we're lonely, or we desire things that God just doesn't want us to have. The devil always will remind you of your loneliness, even though you are the child of the King of Kings and that you are loved by the Almighty God.
Yes, also, I think that's a great point. I mean, I can speak from experience in times, you know, where I've felt loneliness. It was because my focus was on myself. Amen. And one of the verses that I cling to when it comes to focusing on Jesus is Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, the race of life. In other words, looking, here's your focus, looking to Jesus, Amen. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Taking the focus off yourself and putting it on Jesus, changing your mindset, will blast loneliness out of the water.
Amen. I think of the joy, and we were the joy of the Lord, and how powerful that is, that we should rest on that. We should think about that and know that we do have hope in him. Paul was trying to be an encouragement to the weak, to the weak in Christ, which is when we get lonely, that's how we get weak spiritually. Mm-hmm. We don't typically do great things for God in great moments of loneliness. Elijah wasn't calling down fire from heaven when he was lonely. He was asking to take my life.
Yeah.
I think in Romans 15:13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Mm. God gives us hope, or the devil gives us, we want to take our life. We want to end it. Yeah. Only God can fill that loneliness. Only God can give you the joy and peace that this world cannot offer. Only God gives you that hope. Nehemiah 8:10, then he said unto them, go your way. And I love this part. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. I don't know if that's sweet tea or what. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In times of loneliness, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. May we not forget that he is ever with us. And may we not forget that we cannot be separated from his amazing love. May we rest on his promises, and may we ignore the whispering of the devil. And may we remember in our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, and this is Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in weakness, that's when we're lonely, that we're going through trials of life. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Wow.
Therefore, I take pleasure. Wow. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And he's not talking about he becomes physically strong, but God through him becomes strong. And God becomes what we cannot be for ourselves. And I think in these times of weakness, we're depleting our. It's a humbling experience where we really have no choice sometimes. Yeah. And this says, God is not all you need until he's all you have.
Well, and I think it's a mindset, right? I mean, he's taking pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and in distress for Christ's sake. And so it's a mindset. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of hard, honestly, to be, if I'm honest, like, you know, when we experience trial, it's hard to have that mindset that we want to take pleasure in it. I mean, because it's not, you know, typically trials aren't pleasurable, but he's taking pleasure in them. But I love it because he's saying, for when I am weak, I am strong. So he's saying he knows that he's weak, and he knows that all these things hurt, but because the Lord's in him, he's strong. He knows it. Those are the times when God's going to show up. And so, it's a good lesson. It's a hard lesson.
Amen. I think, and just like you said, Ben, it's a proper perspective of where we are with God. And my sister took some literature class, and I would come home and there'd be dishes, and I'd be grouchy. It'd be my turn to do the dishes. And she would always say, she gave me some literature. It's also, life is not what it seems. It's what you make it to be. And I think in this case too, it is like we make it to be something that it's not, when, cause we're not resting. We're not weak, so God can be strong in our life. We're just trying to take control of it, and we can't. We're not resting in that grace that is sufficient for us. May we become strong through him in our weakness, and may we know the truth that we are never alone. There's a great song I love, Ben, and we don't sing it in our church per se, but we sing it in the first verse. I won't sing it for you, but I'll just give you the lyrics. He said, "And I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, which almost conquered my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior bidding me still to fight on. Mm. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died on Calvary's mountain. For me, they pierced his side. For me, he opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me, he waited in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." And the chorus says, "No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. He claimed me for his own. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone."
That's such a good song. And again, it's just focusing on, like you said earlier, Sasso, the promises of God. I mean, it's like we know them. We read them in the scriptures, but do we really acknowledge and believe it? I mean, do we really? Because if we really believe it, I think we would not experience loneliness like we normally do. But man, that was good, brother. To sum this up, Jesus is the key to conquering loneliness. So I don't know if you picked that up in this episode, but Jesus is the key to all of this. Okay, we could end the podcast here. However, I want to take an opportunity to speak to those of you who may not be experiencing loneliness at this moment or may not experience loneliness at all. Being part of the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to minister to those that are lonely. We should be encouraging people in the Lord or exhorting people. Galatians 6:2 says this, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Philippians 2:4, "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others." And then Romans 15:15 says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And we spoke about getting the focus off ourselves and ministering to someone in need. And this is a great way to do that. The reality is that many times people are experiencing issues like loneliness and they will not reach out and they will not ask for help. That's one of the hardest things people face is asking for help. People just don't like to do it. But when you are in a depressed state or you feel like you're disconnected, the last thing you feel like doing is asking someone for prayer or even more so for help. We need to have our eyes open and minister to others. Okay. So when you are at church on Sunday, just remember that 3 out of 5 people, according to that study, are experiencing loneliness. And it might be a little lower in the church. I don't know, maybe 2 out of 5, but the reality is that people experience loneliness. If this episode has been a blessing to you, would you please do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast? You can visit us online at abundantlife.fm. And just as a side note, we do post our notes from our podcast in a readable format on the website. And you can even comment. And we actually get comments from a sister from church. And I always get encouraged from this sister at church. She's an avid listener and reader. And she likes to comment, but she's a sweet woman, and we love her very much. But until next time, guys, we thank you so much for listening. And until next time, may God bless you.
Yes, thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.